Let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 12. Let's sing a song together while y'all are turning there. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. If you would stand, Romans chapter 12, we'll look at verse 1, 2, and 3. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. I want to talk to you about this morning, about that measure of faith. How does faith work? You ever thought about that? How does faith actually work? Let's look in the Bible. We'll discover that together this morning. Lord, I love you. I thank you for the day. I ask you to please bless us, watch over us. I pray that you take care of us today. Lord, if there's anybody here that if they don't know you as their Savior, if they died today and not sure where they go, oh God, I pray that you please impress upon their heart the need for salvation, their trust in Christ. Lord, I pray to be made clear. And Lord, I pray that you would just have your will and way here today. We thank you again, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to place our faith and that which it'll make it grow in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you. You may be seated. The Bible talks a whole lot about faith. And you know, the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. In Hebrews, it says that. And then in Peter, it says to add to your faith. And there's some things we ought to add to our faith. And so the Bible says, if you look back with me, chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So So the Bible's definition of faith is the substance of things hoped for. The substance of things hoped for, the substance would be my service for my Lord and Savior, my belief in my God. It makes me do some things. It urges me. The Bible says it constrains me. So the substance of things hoped for, I've got a hope that one day my Lord and Savior is going to come back. Now, that kind of hope is different than the hope the world has. They hope, oh, I hope it's not going to rain Sunday. I hope it's not going to be too cold Tuesday. It's not that kind of hope. The kind of hope we have as Christians is, I know He's coming back. That's the kind of hope is, I'm expecting, I'm looking forward to it. I know it's going to happen. It's my hope. So it's not the hope that the world has. And so it's so the substance of things hoped for is the evidence of things not seen. I can't see my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but I love Him. I can't go up and just look into His eyes, and I can't go and bow at His feet, but I know that I do that every time I go to my knees in prayer. I know that He's real. I know that my God is real. Not because I've seen Him, but because he's spoken to me through His words. And when I kneel to pray, He's answered my prayers. He has spoken to me, not audibly, Chris, thou shalt do this. That's not how it works. But He does impress upon your heart. He does speak to you. When you read the words in the Word of God, He talks to you. So I believe with all of my heart that my God is real. I believe with all of my heart, although I wasn't there in Gethsemane, that my Lord and Savior knelt in prayer. And He sweated those great sweat drops of blood because He was about to go to Calvary and take on all the sins of all of mankind. I believe that when they nailed Him to the cross, that soldier looked up and said, surely this was the Son of God. I wasn't there, but I believe it. And I believe that they took Him off the cross and they put Him in a borrowed tomb. I wasn't there, but I sure do believe it. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So it'd be pretty good for us to understand how faith works, wouldn't it? If that's the thing that pleases God, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him in Hebrews chapter 11. So what is my duty as a Christian? Revelation chapter 4 verse 11 says it is to bring Him pleasure. So if my whole job as a Christian is to bring my Lord and Savior pleasure, and without faith it's impossible to please Him, I better understand how faith works if I want to be something for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, so here it is. Number one, God provides the faith. God provides the faith. Look what it says for in verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. What does that every man mean? I mean, we'll get really, really deep and theological with you this morning. What does every man mean? Every man. Good job, you made an A. You didn't have to go to the Greek for that one, did you? No. Every man. For all. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Who's the whosoever mean? Whoever. Whoever wants to call on God means whoever. I think God is plain when He says what He says. God says what He meant, and He meant what He says. And so, God hath dealt every man the measure of faith. In John chapter 1, the Bible says that He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You know, there's really no such thing as an atheist. They say that they don't believe God. But I guarantee you, when they get down to the nitty-gritty, they believe there's something out there. They believe there's a God. You can't, a human being cannot help it because God had put into that person that measure of faith. And I've explained it like this before. It's like whenever we're born, it's like there's a hole inside of our heart. And the only one that could ever fit that hole is Jesus. It's like, I say it's in the shape of a cross. Now, literally, it's not like that. I just want to kind of give you a for instance in your mind. And it's like in our heart, there's a hole in the shape of a cross. And people try to put drugs, and they try to put work, and they try to put relationships, and they try to put all kinds of things within their heart, but it doesn't work. Remember when you're little kids, you've seen little babies, they have that little round thing, and they've got, it's like a circle here, and they got a square, and they're trying to fit that square, and we kind of laugh at them because, you know, it's not working. And then they get the moon-shaped one, and it's not working. They try to, they get whatever way they could try to fit in. You've tried to fit other ones. It's a challenge, isn't it? You want to? I'm going to get this one in this hole, whether they like it or not. You're trying to force it in there, but it doesn't work, does it? Same with the Christians. There's something inside of every person. There's something inside of every person that would draw them to God. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John chapter 1. And so the Bible says here that God gives to every man a measure of faith. All right, so we need to understand that how faith works, because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. That's right, it's impossible to please God without faith. I want you to see that. Go to Hebrews with me. I want you to see that, because it's so important that we please our Heavenly Father. Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to go to verse 6, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. I want you to read this out loud with me. Find your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Read out loud with me. Here we go, all together now. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. That's all right. I was going to stop right there, but you can go on. No. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And so God gives us a measure of faith. Every man, He gives that measure of faith. All right, so number one, God provides the faith. How does faith work? Well, number one, God gives us the faith. He is the source of that. Number two, you and I choose where to place that faith. It's called free will. You and I get to choose what we do with the faith that God gives us. We can either place it back into Him. That's called salvation. I believe that Jesus died for me. 9 years old, that guy came and asked me, if you die today, you sure you go to heaven? Oh, I don't know. And he proceeded to take the Bible and show me how to be saved. And I believed in my heart what the Word of God said. And at 9 years old, I understood what He said, and I got saved. I took the faith that He gave me, and I placed it back into Him, and I got saved. It was called free will. I didn't have to accept Him. He didn't force me to accept Him. He didn't try to bribe me to accept Him. All He did was said, you must believe. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. None of us will ever get to heaven and say, I got to heaven because I was good. If I could get to heaven because of my good works, then Jesus wasted His time coming to earth and dying for me. If I could get to heaven and God says, Chris, why should I let you in? Well, I kept the Ten Commandments and, you know, God, I did pretty good. And, you know, I didn't kill nobody. And I took care of my family. And I did all these wonderful things for you, God. And I was at church all the time. I put money in the plate, Lord. And He says, oh, that's great. Come on in. If that's all I had to do, then why did Jesus come? Why did they beat Him? Why did He have to suffer? Why was He on that cross in open, naked shame in front of everybody? Why did the Son of God have to shed His blood if I could get myself in? He came because we can't get ourselves in. Every good thing we do, folks, is tainted with sin. And therefore, God cannot accept it. But Jesus was never a sinner. And everything that Jesus did, God would accept. And when He offered Himself a sacrifice, God says, I'm pleased with that. No more shall I need a sacrifice. And so, number one, how does faith work? God provides the faith. And what we do with that faith, number two, is dependent upon you. Well, what are you going to do with the faith that God has given you? Many of you, most of you, have already taken that faith and put it back into Him and for salvation. Can I tell you, that's not the only thing that you can do with your faith. You can place that faith back into yourself. That would be a lost person. It's also called humanism. They believe that man is God. They think that there is no God. They think that, you know, we're the top of the food chain and there's nobody else besides us. We can save ourselves. Oh, man's getting better. Did you know that? Man, they must not watch the news. It's pretty bad, folks. Hey, the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end times. My wife asked me the other day, she says, Is it as bad now as it was in the days of Noah? I said, do you know when the last days began? According to the Bible, when did that start? When Jesus ascended up to heaven. When He ascended up to heaven, that's when the last days began. We've been in the last days for a good long time. So when is He coming back? I don't know. But I guarantee He's coming back. And the Bible, you know, it's just in my generation, this world has gotten worse. And worse and worse. I'm afraid for my kids. I'm afraid for my grandkids. I just want to go get a cabin in a mountain and just get away from everybody. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Woo, amen. But we can't do that. Maybe for a week at a time, but we can't do that. It would be nice. But it's hard to serve God when you're all alone up on a mountain. It's hard to witness to somebody when you keep yourself hidden from the world. Hey, the Bible says we're in the world, but we're not of the world. So that faith that we have, number one, God gives us that measure of faith, and what you do with it, you choose where to place that faith. For those that are saved, we place that back into Christ, and we get saved. For by grace you're saved through faith. And those that are lost, they don't know Christ as their Savior. They're bound for hell because they've not trusted Christ. They place that faith back on themselves. They believe they're okay. They believe that it's not a big deal. After when you die, it's not a big deal. They place that faith back into themselves. Or you can even put it into other things. You can place your faith into things. Remember, I was telling you about that shape of your heart. It's in the hole in your heart, shape of a cross. And people try to put work, they put drugs, they put pornography, they put money, they put food, they put anything in there but Jesus Christ. And it doesn't work. Never does it ever satisfy. So you can put it back into it. Christian, you can take that faith. And we as Christians, you that are saved, you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that if you died right now, you know where you'd go because you know what you're trusting in. You've placed your faith back into Christ. But can I tell you, that's not all you should place your faith in. The Bible says, add unto your faith. If all a Christian ever does is they get saved and that's it, you're miserable. There's something wrong with that Christian life. Because you as a Christian ought to grow in grace. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue patience, and to patience kindness, and to kindness brotherly love. And it tells you all these things that you add to your faith. We need to work on our faith. Add things to it. So we take the faith as Christians, and we've placed it back into Jesus Christ. And now how does it work? I add to it. But a lost man, they take that faith and they place it into themselves and they place it into things and they place it into movie stars and whatever their heroes are. They place it back into somebody else. They place it into some life coach or some psychic. They place it into some false religion. They place it into other things except for Christ. Can I tell you that never works? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you and I have a choice what to do with that faith, that measure of faith He gives to us. So we choose what we do with that faith. We put it back into Christ, then we can add to it, or we can just put it back in ourselves and not trust in our Lord and Savior. Number three, when you place your faith into Christ and you put it where it ought to be, God gives us more faith as we place it back into Him. Let me give you a case in point. You remember that Ethiopian eunuch when God says, I want you to go join yourself to that Ethiopian eunuch in that chariot that's over there. And he said, okay. And so this man in the book of Acts, he's in this chariot. He's from Ethiopia. He just came from Jerusalem. He bought a copy of the book of Isaiah, and they pulled over to the side of the road, and he's reading, because it's kind of hard to read in a chariot that's shaking, you know what I'm saying? You get that motion sickness. And so he stopped. He pulled over. Make motion. Never mind. And so he pulls over to the side of the road, and he's reading Isaiah. And so Philip, he was bold. He just walked right up and jumped into the chariot with him. And he says, you understand what you're reading? And the guy says, how can I, as some man, help me or explain? Well, it's funny you should say. And he starts to talk to him about the scriptures and tells him about Jesus Christ. And the Ethiopian eunuch, he says, you know what? I believe that. Why, can I get baptized? Because he's talking about baptism. And then Philip says, do you believe? He says, yes. All right, let's go get baptized. And so he baptized him. That Ethiopian eunuch put faith back into Christ. And he believed. And then God is going to give you more faith. And then, you know, the Philippian jailer, when Paul and Silas were in the jail, and it was midnight, and they were singing, and all of a sudden the jailer, he was asleep, and the place started to quake and to shake, and all the doors opened up, and the Philippian jailer realized what was going on. And in Roman times, if you were the guard, and they escaped under your care, you might as well just go ahead and kill yourself because they weren't going to be too nice to you. And they're going to go ahead and kill you. So he was about to kill himself, and Paul said, whoa, stop, hold on just a minute. Everybody's still here. All right, I understand Paul and Silas still being there, but if I'm in jail and the thing opens up, boo, I'm gone, see ya, I'm out of here. So that's amazing that those other ones were still there. I don't know how many others were there, but there were other ones there. And Paul said, stop, don't do thyself any harm. We're all still here. And so the Philippian jailer started talking to him and says, what must I do to be saved? And so he got to lead him to Christ. And then they go to his house. And then all of the people in his house got to hear the gospel, and they got saved as well. They took the faith, and they placed it back into Christ. And when you place your faith back into Christ, he's going to add to that faith. He's going to give you more faith. Remember when Peter was out fishing, and they fished all night long, and they weren't catching nothing. And Jesus back on the shore says, "Children, have you caught any meat?" And he says, "No, cast your nets on the other side." Who's this guy saying? We've been fishing all night. He wants to cast our nets on the other side. Okay, never let's have that word. We'll cast the net. And he put it out, and they started drawing in fish, and the boat started to sink because it was so many fish. And Peter realized, that's Jesus. And so he just left all the guys to do the work, and he dived in the water and went to the shore to meet Jesus. And he believed him. And he fished all night. Remember when Peter said, "I go a-fishing." He was quitting. He said, "I'm done." And so he goes and fishes, and Jesus talks to him and says, "Cast your net on the other side." And Peter was at a point in his life where he was doubting. He had a little faith. And then when Jesus said, "Cast your net on the other side," and he pulled in, it's like, that's Jesus. And boy, his faith kind of got renewed a little bit. And when you put your faith in Christ, Christians, I understand you've already put your faith in Christ for when you're saved. But there's so many things after salvation that we need faith for. We need faith when it comes to giving. We need faith when it comes to service. I need faith when it comes to raising my family. I need faith when it comes to just trying to be a man of God. You take that faith, put it back into Christ. It's amazing the things you'll see. God provides the faith. You choose where to place that faith. God gives us more faith as we place it back into Him. And number four, misplaced faith is fear. Misplaced faith damns those to hell that are lost. When we take our faith and we put it in something other than Christ, when you're lost, that damns you to hell forever, and that can't be undone. For grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So for the lost man, when he takes that faith and he puts into someone other than Christ or something other than Christ, that damns him to hell forever. So what about a Christian? When a Christian takes their faith, and although you're saved, but they take their faith and it's misplaced in other things, Christians can do that. Just because you're a Christian don't mean you're that in a bag of chips. Get the t-shirt, whatever it is. But when a Christian takes their faith and they put it in other things or they don't add to it, that discourages a Christian. You ever take something and like a game or something, trying to put together, and you don't follow the instructions? Ever get frustrated? What are these leftover parts for? Yeah, whatever. You know, or you try to play a game, but you don't play it by the rules, and it doesn't quite work out like you want it to. My kids, they make up rules in games all the time. Don't ever play games with my children, because especially Sarah, wherever she's at, she'll make up rules. But hey, we as Christians, we can't make up rules as we go. We have to play by the book, and the book tells us what we ought to do. And the Bible says for us to put our faith back into Christ, add to our faith. And when we as Christians take our faith and we don't build upon it, but we place it in other things, just like a lost man would, but we're just saved. You know what that is? That's carnal Christianity. You see, you have a lost man, that's the natural man. That's the person without Christ. Then you have someone that is saved. That's the new creature in Jesus Christ. Then you have somebody that's like Lot, or someone that is like Samson. That is a carnal Christian. That's someone that lives of the world. They're saved. Lot vexed his righteous soul. They're saved, but Lot didn't place his faith back into Christ like Abraham did. Abraham said, "You choose where you want to go, and I'll go the opposite direction." Abraham was wise. He knew that his faith was not placed in Christ. Wherever he went, God was the opposite direction. And so Abraham understood that. And so Lot placed his faith in those green pastures over there. Man, the city is over that way. I can make some money over there. So he goes over there. He places his faith in that decision. And can I tell you, he lost his family. Lost his family. Abraham decided to go God's way. He placed his faith in God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And Abraham was blessed of God. My question to you is this morning, very simple. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Christian, have you taken that faith that you put in Christ all those years ago when you got saved? Are you taking that faith and are you putting it back into Christ? Are you building upon that faith? Or are you putting that faith back into you and the decisions that you make? Are you taking that faith that's supposed to be in Christ and are you putting it in things, or are you just leaving it dormant, not doing anything? The book of John says that there's faith, there's no faith, there's little faith, there's much faith, and there's more faith. There's levels to your Christianity. There's levels to your walk with God. And there's levels to your faith in Jesus Christ. And there's no way that we could ever reach the height of our Christian walk with God. It is work day after day. A marriage is work day after day. A job is work day after day. And a Christian walk with Jesus Christ is work. And take that faith and put it back into Christ. Build upon it. Or are you here this morning? You say, I don't know if I've ever trusted Christ as my Savior. If I died right now, I don't know where I would go. Take that measure of faith that God gave you. Put it back into Jesus Christ and believe what He's done for you. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that will ever get you into heaven. If you're here this morning, I'd like you to think about where is your faith. Every head bowed and every eye closed.